you're coming home from, let's say, a cabinet or European Council meeting discussing something. To switch off and to switch on to your family and your spouse is difficult.
You're listening to Humans of Politics, a podcast about how it feels to be a politician. My name is A.B. Philbin-Bowman, and my guest today is the Green Party leader and TD, Eamon Ryan.
I wasn't that bright in school. I wasn't doing that particularly well. I was a happy enough kid, but our school, in a kind of posh way, decided to do O-levels rather than the intercert at the time. And I did an O-level in ecology, specialising in parkland ecology. The first day we got a bus out to the Glen of the Downs and the teacher sent us out into the forest with a tape recorder and a camera and putty to record tracks of animals and things like that. We ran behind a tree, started smoking and thought it was all a joke. But as the year went on, it was an incredible education. It was team learning in nature, the way I think our education system should go. And it just, at the time, this is the late 70s, we were reading the latest thinking. We were reading Gaia theory. We were reading Limits to Growth. And it just transformed my education. I've been kind of pretty much since then campaigning for an ecological approach to our future.
So you were first elected in 2002. You spent 5 years in opposition. And then in 2007, you formed a coalition government with Fianna Fáil and you became a minister. I'm just curious about the difference between being in opposition and being in government at a personal level. You know, your daily routine, your energy levels, how you feel going to work each morning.
And for me, I loved those 5 years in opposition because I was on the communications, energy and natural, and the marine, I think it was. But it was basically energy policy, communications, digital policy. And I just loved it. I found I was really learning a lot and was really interested because I was interested in issues like climate change and they provide solutions to solve it. And my experience in opposition, well, firstly, you need to do that learning because you need to understand the brief. And secondly, if you're in a committee and you're on the record and you have a Secretary General and you really know what you're talking about and you kind of put the question, not in a shaming the guy or girl or kind of looking to be, but just because you know, kind of some of the facts and say, here are the facts, this is what we should do. And if they're not doing it, they're kind of embarrassed by that. And embarrassment isn't a small motivating factor in terms of no one wants to be embarrassed. Now, you can do more in government because you've control of a budget and you've control of the legislative process. So I was lucky because I had that 5 years training in that committee, particularly doing a lot of work around climate, broadband and other issues. And then I was lucky for a whole dint of circumstances to be able to go into government, into cabinet, to get that department. So I kind of arrived in day one with 1,000 ideas of what I wanted to do because I'd had that experience in opposition. So for me, it was kind of reasonably seamless and opportune. It still takes a long time to learn how to do it. Running a department and being part of a cabinet is not easy. The first day, I remember the Secretary General, who I knew very well and liked, gave me the box set of Yesminster and said, you watch that. And you know what? It was actually true. It hasn't, like our political administrative system was set up in the early part of the last century. It was best practice, like the British, in fairness, you know, in some ways they gave us a system that, you know, it was fairly state of the art back then. It hasn't changed that much. It's still pretty much the same system. And that relationship between a minister and department and indeed the wider civil service is hugely important. It takes a while to learn the tricks and the trade.
As a government minister, how much sleep did you get per night?
I slept fairly well because, listen, I was in a difficult family situation because we had 4 young kids. One of our kids with special needs, so we were in a very difficult situation. My wife, I suppose, took a lot of the burden of that because I was in time in government, which was fairly unusual in terms of the world caved in terms of public finances and the banking system. And I was fairly involved in that. I was fairly close to Brian Lennon as finance minister and involved kind of in our party's assessment of the alternatives. So mixing that with what at home is, you know, we, like any family, would know what this is like when you have a child with special needs coming to getting a diagnosis and taking the child out of conventional school and then working out, so what's going to happen. That was fairly stressful because in some ways because I was involved, because I was informed to what was going on. That is slightly easier in some way. I mean, it was harder. Sometimes it was harder for those maybe around you who weren't so closely connected to what was actually being decided, because they have to take the consequence. They've got to take the phone calls. They've got to take all the pressure, all the public opprobrium. Now, towards the very end, it was really stressful because, you know, when the world caves in, the IMF comes in and government falls down, that was very tough. And, you know, no matter what, that's stressful. The whole country was in a seriously stressed situation. And so those in politics just as much, if not more.
Absolutely. And just at a human level, like, how much information are you processing? How do you know who to trust or what information? Just because obviously we can look back in hindsight and go, well, this should have been done differently, or this was handled badly. Or, but in the middle of the madness of that financial crisis, very big calls were made.
What you said there is absolutely true. The actual key thing often in politics, in good times as well as in bad, but in those, even particularly in those really stressed situations, it's who do you trust and whose information do you trust? And I have to say, and maybe I would say this because I was involved, but there was an inner core team of people. And I'll be honest, my experience in that time with that team of people, there was a sense of trust. And like, literally, it was stressful because we were ringing up, and some point there was a wholesale run in the banks. So you'd be ringing Kevin Cardiff saying, Kevin, how much money did we lose this morning? You know, we've lost 3 billion out of the banks this morning. What do you think is going to happen in the afternoon? It's that level of stuff. And if you don't trust what you're being told, you're in real trouble. And I feel, and I basically felt at that time, even though the government was falling apart, political public confidence in the government was shot, actually internally, right close in the centre of the key people making some of the key decisions, there was a collective trust, and that was important. And it was interesting towards the end, when this really got very difficult and the whole country was in a very distraught state, I always remember there was a colleague of mine, Mark Deary, who was a good friend, and you couldn't get a more decent, intelligent, capable politician. I think he said something like, he couldn't walk down the street in his own town, and he's well regarded in his town. And he was, he's hoping, doesn't mind me saying, but he was crying. And I think my friend Mary White, who's a similarly highly capable woman, I think had been spat at or something in her local town. And at that point, we collectively, your antenna, your job as politicians is to be that kind of, you know, in touch with what the country thinks. And we decided that meeting, we said, OK, we're going to have to, this government doesn't have the political support of the people. It's lost its mandate, really.
What's it like to be on the receiving end of so much public anger?
Do you know, it's tough and small little thing, like you kind of... being recognised, you think maybe if you're starting off in politics, oh, that'd be great, you know, I'd be well known and celebrities. I mean, I've got our whole culture seems to be kind of celebrating celebrity and that sense of being recognised or being known. After a while, if you are recognised in some ways like that, it doesn't really benefit you. You'd be walking down the street and you could see someone look at you and you could see that they were really angry looking at you. And how do you manage that? You just have to... you got to accept it. You got to just have an inner strength, I guess, just to accept, well, that person's doing that because they have a, you know, they've got something that's really tough in their life, and therefore, and they're seeing you as the personification of the reason why they've got something tough. It's not, and you kind of, you have to see it from their perspective and accept it.
Inevitably, in democracy, there's a moment when that public anger is expressed. And in 2011, there was a general election where you and all of your Green Party colleagues lost your seats, you lost your jobs, and really felt the full force of the public's disapproval. How does that feel?
I'll be honest, at that stage, it was a sense of relief. From roughly that October, we kind of knew it was really very, very hard, very tough, unprecedented in some ways times. So I'm being closely involved in the kind of response to it in within government was very testing. We also ran a really good campaign. We canvassed hard and we were really proud of each other in terms of internally. Everyone ran a good campaign and we lost every single seat and it was tough. But I'll be honest as well, the week after, a few days after, just a sense of huge relief because the responsibility is off your shoulders. It's not, and the phone ain't ringing all the time. And I went on a holiday with my family and it was lovely. 4 or 5 weeks later, I was starting maybe to get itchy because you're going from hyper busy to what do I do now? And I wasn't missing the Dáil. I wasn't regretful I lost my seat. I mean, I was in a way that our party had lost all our seats. But in some ways, it was an advantage that we'd all lost our seats. So it was kind of collective again, which kind of helped. There came a issue then about the leadership of the Green Party. So I put myself forward to lead of the Green Party. There was two or three other things I did bit by bit, I found even within another few months, each of those kind of things had sort of slightly taken off, and I was busy again. And in some ways, one of the regrets I have maybe is I didn't take a complete sabbatical. I kind of found myself 6 months later juggling, leading the Green Party, involved in European climate policy still, and climate conversations. And I loved all three of them, and I found them really interesting. But I kind of slightly worried I got addicted to being busy. And if I look back on one side of regret, I said, maybe I should have taken 6 months off. You don't get a chance to do that often. But anyway.
And how does all of that impact on, as you say, being father of four kids, and you said one who has special needs? It just must be really, you know, a struggle to be that busy.
I say to people, a lot of my job is going out asking people to run for the Green Party. And one of the things I say is admit that the one difficult downside thing to be careful about, it is kind of addictive politics. It is kind of, it gives you an adrenaline rush. Like, I mean, I've just come out of a radio studio in RT here, and you wouldn't be honest if you didn't say that sort of stuff is very, it does give adrenaline to people, and you got to be careful that becomes addictive. And I'll be the first to admit that sometimes if you're coming home from that, you're coming home from, let's say, a cabinet or European Council meeting discussing something, to switch off and to switch on to your family and your spouse is difficult. And how do you rectify that? Because by the nature of it, it is full of adrenaline, you know, not always, but it's inuring yourself against that and switching off is probably one of the most important things we should be training people in politics to do. And listen, the public ain't going to say, well, listen, you decided. It's not, no one's forcing you to do it. You put yourself forward. But your family, I think rightly, sometimes have the right to say, they pay a bit for that, I think.
Eamon Ryan, thank you so much.